This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, hit number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line, it may go!
The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to this special Friday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I want to apologize for the day late start, but as most of you guys that follow us on social media know, we had quite the day yesterday, thanks to Benji and his brother Yachty, his continued support of the show through the m4byyachty.com hotline. Never ceases to amaze. We've got a nice announcement for us personally with a great guy, good friend that wanted to come on board and sponsor the show, so we were able to say thank you to him and take him down to the stadium for a nice day, and he got to meet Yachty and get some personal thanks from Benji, of course. So it was a good day for us, again, down at the stadium real early yesterday, and got to take in the sights and have some time down below the stadium, and then some green seat action. If you've ever had the opportunity to sit down in those, it's a once in a lifetime experience. It's not cheap, but if you ever get the chance to do it, I suggest you do so. A lot of fun, and again, can't say thanks to Benji and Yachty and everybody over at m4byyachty.com hotline enough to just give us the opportunity to say thank you to a great guy that we're going to be happy to introduce to the show next week. want to welcome in a guy that was on the show while I was on vacation, and I think he's going to be our go-to guy when one of us is gone, because the episode did really, really well, and a lot of people loved his takes. I didn't expect anything less, as I've gotten to know him since I moved up here. He's a legendary coach, no doubt about it, but he's also a legendary guy. He's a big Cardinal fan. His memory has not failed him as he's aged. He still can tell you everything that happened in a baseball game 45 years ago, whether it be at old Busch Stadium or at a high school field somewhere. So I think everybody really appreciated his takes. He's an honest guy. He's going to tell you what he thinks, and he doesn't really care who's listening. So I thought I'd welcome him back in. Let's welcome in Coach Tom Pyle. What's going on, bud?
Thanks for having me. I got up a little early to be here, but I sacrificed for you, Jim.
Got up a little early. I mean, what's the wake-up time typically at the Pyle household for you? I mean, it's 10:50. I mean, what time do we normally get up?
Well, I had to get up before 10:50 to get here. No, I stay up pretty late. I'm kind of a night owl, and usually if I'm going to do something, work or do something on the computer, I'll do it late. And I'm just, you know, reverse. A lot of people get up and do their work in the morning. I do mine late at night.
Well, I tell you, you do your best work when you're running that mouth of yours. That's my favorite thing. I know you like to say that about me, so I thought I'd say it. I know you're laughing over there. But no, listen, I tell you what, you're the for people that have had the opportunity to meet you, and you're a fascinating guy, there's no doubt about it. But if you've ever had the opportunity to sit around you and talk, I mean, really, you're a knowledgeable guy. I hate to say that out loud in front of you, but you're knowledgeable about more than just baseball. But especially when the topic turns to sports or baseball, you hold court. You're that guy. Like, when you sit around and talk, everybody sits around and listens. So again, I thought it would be fantastic to have you back on. And as these Cardinals seem to have found another gear as we head down to the pennant race here, I thought maybe it'd be good to have you on and get your take, as it sure seems like they've put themselves in a chance to at least have a chance.
Well, it's very unusual for your number 2, 3, and 4 hitters to be guys that were in the minors, except for Martinez. He was up, but he didn't play. And now your number two is Tommy Pham, and your number three is DeJean, and then your number four is Martinez. It's funny to me, and I addressed that last time I was on the show about evaluation. How come are these guys so good? And I mean, and they're doing the job now, then why weren't they up at the beginning of the year when we were struggling? We also brought up some younger pitchers that are doing the job pretty much so. I think Flanagan's going to be real good. He just, you know.
Flaherty, Flanagan, doesn't matter.
Well, whatever his name is. When you teach as many kids as I have, you don't know their name. I didn't know your name. I knew your face, but I didn't know your name for 4 years. But, yeah. And that's strange to me, and it's kind of sad. But, hey, they've turned the corner a little bit. I still think they've got some problems. They leave a lot of runners on. And, you know, you've got to do some timely hitting, as you well know, Jim, because you've done a lot of coaching in your career.
Well, again, that is a big part of it. Everybody, you know, everybody likes to look at stats these days. I wonder how a coach like you would approach the game today with all the analytics involved in it. And again, there's a place for it. I get it. Everybody wants to talk about OBP, and nobody seems to care about average anymore. I've always said, give me a guy that can hit, and I'll give you a baseball player, because I think what we fail to realize as fans is hitting's really hard. I mean, it looks easy on TV. It looks easy from the stands. It's really, really hard. And, you know, when you got a runner in scoring position with two outs, I appreciate a guy that's got a nice OBP, but we need guys that can hit. You know, and that to me is the one thing that gets overlooked a little bit, and we take for granted, I think, some of the guys that we've had over. I mean, this time period that we've become spoiled as Cardinal fans, and I say that to be completely honest. You've been a Cardinal fan much longer than most people that are listening to the show. You've lived that roller coaster, right? For a lot of Cardinal fans, their roller coaster's been like a year off. We've had like years off and of poor baseball, and then good baseball and poor baseball. So, you know, I think we're a little spoiled with this latest run we've had. That kind of started when Tony got here, and I know he wasn't your favorite, but the guy did win, and he found a way to get his club ready. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at the couple of seasons Alan Craig had, and then obviously we had the greatest player that, in my opinion, that we're going to see with our eyes, Albert, here. And when you have guys like that in the lineup that are driving in runs and driving them in sometimes with two outs, It can't go unnoticed. I mean, look at Albert right now in Anaheim. I mean, everybody's talking about how he's done. He's washed up. He's approaching 100 RBIs again, 30 home runs. And, yeah, he's going to hit 240. But, man, you got to drive in runs. And that's what we need.
Well, there's no question about that. But it seems like if you hit 280, the 280 now is the new 300.
For sure.
It's very difficult for some strange reason to hit 300. I think part of it is they've changed their philosophy. They want to hit the long one, and they want to hit more fly balls, and there's some different coaching going on out there. But let's go back to the stats. Those abbreviated letters sounds like FDR and the New Deal, you know, AAA, NBA, CAA. You know, that doesn't mean anything to me. It never did. Now, I coached baseball 31 years. I take that back, 21 years. I taught school for 21 years, which is plenty. But a guy can either hit or he can't hit, and you don't need a stat. I don't need to look at the stat chart. We kept them, but I didn't need to look at them. All you need to do is look at who's coming through, who's not, who can hit it, and you can tell in batting practice how that ball jumps off the bat and who's got the good eye and who's got the skill level. And you don't need a bunch of stats. Now, let's go back to what I said last time I was on. That's part of the problem. These managers do stats. They look at lefty, righty. They look at matchups. They look at all this thing. This guy only hit 121 against, let's say, Carpenter or Wainwright. And so then they say, all right, we got to let him face him. Or they bring in a reliever. I'm not into that. What'd you do? When a left-hander came up, did you take Bob Gibson out? Did you take Tom Seaver out? Did you take Walter Johnson out? No. you let him pitch. Yeah, the guy that's got the arm and the knowledge and who's got location and movement is going to get a lefty or righty. I've never been a big fan of lefty-righty, ever. If I want my best pitcher in there, as long as he can go and as long as his arm's healthy, I want him in there. I want my best hitters up. You got to play the game to put it in the hands of a good hitter. You set up runners and you set up positions for good hitters. Not everybody is your greatest hitter. When you, I mean, you mentioned Albert Pujols. I'd love to have everything him up there every inning, you know, at the number three in every inning. But the game has changed, Jim, and I'm not a real big fan of it anymore. And I watch the Cardinals every night. I haven't been down the stadium yet. I used to go to a minimum of 10 games. And when I first came to Edwardsville, I went to 52 games. I sat out in left field bleachers, me and a bunch of us, and Lou Brock, we'd yell at him every time he came out, and he would salute us with the tip of the hat or a nod of the head. Well, you go to 52 games, you sit in left field bleachers for $2, and you have a ball, and you had your little group. Well, I met Lou Brock about 2 years after all that, and I went up to him, and I said, Lou, it's a pleasure to meet you. And he says, well, you haven't met me. He says, I know who you are. And I said, well, I've never met you, have I? And he said, yeah. Every time you go to a Cardinal game, I see you up there yelling and screaming. Now, that is a big thrill when they know that they recognize you. And I love the game. I love the way it was played. I love Whitey Herzog, the way he plays the game. And I like some of these guys, that not many of them, but occasionally they'll move the ball. They'll have runners moving and doing different things to try to score a run. And that's my big hang-up with Tony La Russa and Mike Matheny. They don't do some things, I'm not saying every game, but occasionally try something different. We leave, it seems to me, and I know all teams do, but it seems to me the Cardinals have always got a runner at first and second, nobody out, and then there's the strikeout, and then there's the pop-up or the double play. We get a gut shot down the middle, and we foul it straight back or don't swing at it. Then we wait till the ball's in the dirt, a slider away or some big curveball away, and we swing at it in the dirt, and that becomes very frustrating.
Well, I think you got some great points there, and I want to get to all of them because I really want to get your take on a few things that have been discussed on the show. And again, I say this affectionately, you know, as a longtime baseball guy that comes from the old school, I want to get your take on a few things that are going on currently and how you see it playing out the rest of the year. Before we do that, though, I want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website. It's where you'll find this current episode. You can listen to some back episodes if you'd like. You can also subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. You'll just get a quick notification each time the podcast is released. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Those are our best ways to communicate with people. We really do enjoy it. It gives us an opportunity to stay in tune with what's going on with all the Cardinal fans out there when they're happy, when they're sad, regardless of what the situation might be. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Happy to have you guys be a part of our Twitter group as well. The conversations on there sometimes can get a little interesting, but again, it's all in good fun. And as I always say, what do we really know? So happy to have you there. Follow us there. Share our stuff around. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Facebook, same thing. If you guys would hit us at Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook. Like our Facebook page. If you see the show, if you'd share it, that would be tremendous. We would greatly appreciate it. Hit us up on Instagram. That's our new thing. Benji and Yachty been telling me for a while now, hey, man, help you out. Need you to be on Instagram. That's where it's at, and as you can tell, as I've gotten to be more involved in it, Yachty does love Instagram. So, again, you can find us there. We are Two Birds on a Bat Show. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. If you would follow us on there, we'd like to share some stuff with you. We have the opportunity sometimes. It's a picture and video type thing, and we're going to have some things that'll be pretty cool to share on there as well. We'd like to be part of your community there. Special thanks to all the great Facebook groups that have helped us grow, starting with the Cardinal Freaks, of course, St. Louis Cardinals News and Rumors, which is now affectionately known as the Cardinal Report. Make sure you check him, the Redbird Report. Of course, Chris Lawless, our good friend at Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. He's been with us since the beginning. Happy to have him, a big supporter of the show, and we love what he does. Of course, we're not going to get too far without reminding you guys that we're happy to welcome in Nate McHenry and his Rally School Report as a full-time member now of our show. You know, we've asked people to check out rallysquirrel.com and join the Rally Squirrel Club for less than the price of a cup of coffee. You can join the Rally Squirrel Club. You'll get the premium portion of the podcast on Mondays. You know, we're kind of leaning on Benji and some other guys to help us get some special guests on shows like that. The big part of that, though, if you ask me, is the opportunity for anybody that's registered and is a member of the Rally Squirrel Club, the giveaways that we're going to have on there every Monday. I was really impressed with the stuff that Fan Cave Sports came through for us with their first contribution to the first show, the Stephen Piscotty autograph bat, the pictures, we had the shirts and the hoodie. Happy to give that stuff away each and every week, and all you have to do is be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. You'll receive that podcast, and of course, we'll be giving away those items as well. Lineupmedia.fm, couldn't do the show without you guys. Thanks so much. They're the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Give them a listen. Happy to be a part of what they're doing, and again, if you're a podcaster, I know you're going to enjoy what you find there. They take your entertainment time very seriously. Okay, going to hear from Steve-O and his wonderful wife, Emily, real quick here, and let them give you their spiel. And again, I think all they're asking for is an opportunity for your business. They've chosen to support us, so we hope you support them as well. Going to see you on the other side. We're going to hear a little more from Coach Pyle as I want to get his take on some of the lineup, some of the approaches, and where he sees our Cardinals at in 2 or 3 weeks here. See you on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
All right, good stuff. And if I did not mention earlier in the show, please forgive me, but our wonderful friend Steve is playing hooky today. He's going to tell you, I know how it works, Moto. He's going, and then, of course, Coach Tom Pyle is affectionately known as Moto. But he's going to tell us he's working. He's on a golf course, but a guy like Steve is always working. So that's what he's going to tell us. But that is where he's at today. So hence, that's why you're in the big chair and nobody more deserving.
Well, you know, Steve, I listen to you guys, and I enjoy it thoroughly. Steve's out there playing golf with Chad Opel.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot he's playing with Chad.
Yeah, Chad played for me in 98. My last year, he played shortstop, and he was the leader. No question about it. They'll all tell you that. And without a leader, you're not going very far. And I'm not – I mean, I was the captain. I was the leader. No question about it. But – you got to have somebody on the field that they look up to, and certainly Chad Opel was that. And then Steve, ironically, played on the 90 state championship team. So you got two state champion guys out there playing golf. Steve told me he shot a 78 the other day, and I really don't believe it.
What did he shoot on the back nine?
Well, yeah, that's true. 78's pretty good, and but maybe that was his best round ever, and he was just kind of bragging about it. You know, Steve's got a little he's got a pretty good ego on him.
Who?
Stevie.
Nothing like yours.
Well, no, I've got a big ego. There's no question about it. I don't think you can be successful. You got to have some type of ego. and you got to believe in what you're doing, and you can't let other things enter into it. I mean, you got to listen to parents. I mean, you don't listen to them. You got to respect them. But you don't have to listen to them, and certainly you do not want them interfering in your coaching. And I didn't allow that except in extreme circumstances. But the main thing is you got to block all that out in order to have success, especially at the high school level.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you that I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Number one, there has to be a certain amount of, you know, what's the guy say there? You have to play this game with a certain amount of arrogance, but enough fear type thing. But, you know, it's a different game played on the field by the best of the best. And I don't think we as fans sometimes take into account the mental aspect of the game, how hard it is on you mentally. Obviously, we think it's baseball and physically it shouldn't be that hard on you, but it is, whether we want to admit it or not. You know, I think even the players sometimes they need a day, but they don't want a day because they want to play. I mean, who doesn't want to play, right? So I think that's a tough gig that's always a hard thing for a manager, because I think he's damned if you do, damned if you don't. You lived through that. Now, obviously, on a, you know, listen, for high school, it was a big stage. But if you want to compare it to the major leagues, it's obviously a smaller stage. But at the end of the day, you're still taxed with running a club and trying to find a way to manage, whether it be young men that you're trying to help make good men, or whether it be professional baseball players that unfortunately now we see in today's game, and you kind of touched on it earlier and I wanted to get to it, the business side. And I think, this is my opinion. I've said this 100 times over. I always say what I think will happen, but I take into account the business side of baseball that I have seen, and I say this affectionately sometimes, that rears its ugly head. Benji reminds us all the time, this is a business, okay? But I'll never understand this as long as I live, because you would think it'd be as simple as, who's our best eight, right? But it doesn't seem to ever be that way. Now, I've said this once and I'll say it again. Mike Leake, when he was here, and I don't care what he's done in Seattle, the bottom line was the guy wasn't getting it done in our rotation. I'm sorry, he wasn't. I could care less if you lie. I don't really give two shits what you think he's going to do. I'm telling you what he wasn't doing, and he wasn't getting it done. So I always said this, okay, well, why not make him the mop-up guy and let one of these young guys start? You know, they're going to start him because he's making $17 million a year or $15 million, whatever it is. Now, Tom Moto, you got to remember now, I grew up in Madison, so I got my Madison math going here. But if he makes $15 million and the guy that you got pitching down in Memphis, if you call him up, he makes $500,000, and I'm rounding up. I'm rounding here, right? Because that's how Madison works. Okay, $15 million, $500,000 between two pitchers. Who gives a shit if one's pitching at the start of the game and one at the end? You're paying 15 and a half regardless.
Well, Jim, you're exactly right. That's part of the problem. That's why they keep going to Piscotty, who I happen to like. I think he's got a lot of skill. But he's struggling this year. He's killing the Cardinals. He's always up at a key time. He hit three for 2 months, and he really didn't get it done. But he had a great year last year, and now they give him the big contract, and they kept playing him, sending him down, playing him, sending him down. And the reason they did that is because they got a lot of money in him. It's the same thing with Wong. Luckily, Wong turned it around. But he was really struggling because he's trying to hit the home run every time. And somebody got a hold of him and told him, hey, look, you just got to play within yourself. And he turned it around after struggling. But when they got a lot of money in you, it does make it very difficult. And you addressed it, 162 games. My golly, we played 40 in 98. We played 40 games. And we were exhausted at the end of the year. Of course, we're going to school. They're studying. They got other problems. But we were exhausted after 40. And when you play 162, and there's a lot of stress on you and a lot of pressure, hitting that baseball every day, and they got great pitching. The big difference is relief pitching. I mean, come on. You're facing a guy, you finally get him. Usually you get a guy the second time around, and for sure the third time around. But now you don't see him the third time around sometimes because they're bringing in a guy that can throw it 100 miles an hour. And then if you really got a guy that can throw it 100 and he's got a secondary pitch, then you got some problems. So there's a business to it. But you get back to the high school level. Hey, here's what you got to do. Let me share this with you. I taught honors history, AP history, and traditional history. Traditional history, I got an F student sitting next to an A student. You've got to motivate both of those. That's very, very difficult. I'm teaching a subject that most kids don't like. Then they like it when they're 25 and 30, then they start liking history. But I'm teaching kids that they like sports, and they like girls or men or boys or whatever. That's what they like. They like sports and the other side. Now, I've got to motivate them all day long. Five classes a day, 154 kids I'm teaching, and trying to motivate them all and trying to be good. When I walk through the double doors, I'm going to try to be the best teacher I can be. I just wasn't a coach. So I've got to do that, Jimmy. Then I've got to go out and coach. Now I coach basketball. I coach two sports every year. Every year I coach two. Some years I even coach three. Then I got to go out and be at my best and teach the sport that I'm happen to be in. Now it's just starting, because now you got to be you got to raise money, funds, because you don't have enough money to operate your program. You've got to take care of the field. You've got maintenance. You've got to set up different organizations. You might have the Busch Stadium game coming up. You've got to organize that and do all that kind of stuff. So we have our own problems, too, at the high school level. And I really appreciate all the coaches that in any sport that have to go through that, because I've been through it. And it's got its own problems. Just like the professionals have their own problem. You're right. It's a business, and that's another reason I'm not crazy about it like I used to be. I used to be, in love with the game and mesmerized by it, and I love the hitting the cutoff and getting the key hit and hustling and stealing bases. I mean, now you steal bases, it's a lost art. They go in, hand first. Lou Brock went in pop-up slide hard. He said, go directly to the base and go in hard. And, of course, I guess he knew a little bit about it. He stole over 800 bases. And stuff like that. They don't teach sliding, I don't think. They don't teach bunting. They don't teach hitting. I mean, they teach it a little, but it's not part of the game. Hitting behind a runner. When you played at Southwest, didn't you?
Yeah, Southwest Illinois College.
Yeah, Southwest for Neil?
Yep. Okay. No, not Neil. Van Smith.
Oh, Van Smith. I know Van. Yeah, I used to be a scout for somebody. And he was a
Padres.
He was a McKendry, too.
Yep.
Anyway, I lost my train of thought, but what was I talking about before that? I got off the track.
Something about coaches and and what you guys have to deal with.
Well, I know, but there's something else in there. But that's okay. It wasn't that important then. But, no, it's everybody's got their own deal, and it's just I like the purity of the game. See, I mean, as far as playing, I'd rather play football than any sport. And then as far as coaching, I'd rather coach basketball. Yeah, it seems to be a little more strategy involved. But as far as the purity of the game, you can't beat baseball. I mean, if you make a little bob, a little error, you're safe. If you throw the wrong base, you're out. Just like the other day. Yesterday, the kid pitched a great game. How'd he give up a run? Error. Routine play. DeJean, he kind of went in too fast, didn't get under control, and he made the error. And, by the way, you were in the green seats yesterday, huh?
Yeah. Did I not invite you?
You did, and I couldn't go. I had a friend that's ill, and I had a commitment to see him, and I appreciate it. I've only been in the green seats a couple of times, and it's luxury galore. And I'd love to meet Yachty. I met Yachty my first time in Al Roboski's VIP room after a ball game, and we sat and talked a little baseball.
Well, let me tell you how gracious this guy was with his time. It was early in the day. I mean, obviously, he's got a lot to do, but he took some time to meet our new friend Randy Green and welcome him, help Benji welcome him on board. And again, you know, Benji coming to this show was a godsend, and he's been nothing but great to us and is really worked his butt off to try to help us with guests and content and taking time out of his schedule. So just a class act. The family is loved here, no doubt about it. It's loved throughout baseball, but there's no secret why. And, you know, baseball is a game that'll allow you to love people if you let it. And, you know, it's also a game where you get frustrated. I'm sure you dealt with that over time. And you and I like to sit around and go back. It's funny. I was telling somebody the other day, I've got all these different text things, groups, with people, and they seem to revolve around the Cardinals, but we like to go back and forth a little bit about different strategies. You know, I called you an old school manager. I think you would take that as an affectionate comment. I think, you know, in a day of analytics, we want to look at different things. I mean, let's look at the Cardinals lately, okay? You know, you can kind of go back as far as, you know, August. You know, they were a couple games over 500 in August, okay? That's, for Cardinal fans, that's not good enough, right?
No.
But they've really turned it on here in September. They're 10-3. Now, the only team in baseball better over that stretch is Cleveland, naturally so. I mean, what they're doing is unbelievable. I mean, it's so hard. You got to have some luck. You got to have a lot of things go your way to win 21 games in a row. But they're 10-3.
How'd you like to win 64 in a row?
Well, you did do that, didn't you? I knew that'd come out.
Well, you think about that for a second.
No, you're right. It's amazing how it, because it's, well, number one, you got to be talented. You got to have all the things that we've talked about on this show today so far. You got to have good manager. You got to have a community come together. You got to have kids that buy in. You got to have a team leader. You got to have all this stuff. And then you need a little luck, too.
No question about it. But the main thing you need, and you mentioned it a while ago, which I, the only thing you said today I disagreed with, is fear. I don't think when you win 64 in a row and then we won 40 in a row in 1998, you got to be fearless. You can't fear any team. You can't fear failure. I mean, you're going to have failure, but you can't let it bog you down in fear. Everybody doesn't want to strike out. They don't want to pop up. But that's part of the game. But you got to overcome those things and come through at certain times, and that's hard to do. But how do you win 64 in a row? You're going to have some kids that can flat out play, bought into it, practice, and fundamentals. Something the Cardinals lack this year, base running fundamentals. They lack defensive fundamentals. They lack timely hitting. They lack hitting behind runners. They could be right up there with the Cubs. We got better pitching than the Cubs. Cubs got a better eight-man lineup, but we got better pitching than the Cubs. Their pitching is struggling.
Let me ask you something, and I do want to clarify something. That was a line from a movie.
It was?
Yeah.
What movie?
In Bull Durham. When he's talking to him about going to the show, he tells him you have to play the game with a certain amount of fear. I think what he's saying is, and I'm assuming what he meant by the movie, was the fear has to drive you to want to be better, you know, and stuff like that. But either way. So anyway.
Well, I don't think it's fear. I think it might be something else.
Well, but
that's okay.
Go.
We disagree.
I got you.
That's okay.
Okay. So I will say this. You mentioned about all the different things that go on and the changes of the game and the way that they the fundamentals and things like that. You know, I find it odd that all sports, they're always trying to find a way to, sometimes they want to make the game safer, right? Every time something happens, we got to make it safer. And then people are being overworked or doing all this kind of stuff. I was listening today to a guy on the way in. They were actually talking about the Pro Football League. And they got a problem. They got a real problem with concussions, right? But they're saying now that they're implementing all these rules now where there's only so many days you can practice with pads. And now a lot of teams aren't even using pads during the day. They're doing all this stuff. But you talk to the old school guys, and they're like, you got to hit. You got to practice. You got to do that. But then the players' union fights back and says, we can't do this. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it a couple years ago that there was a clubhouse meeting, and I think it was led by Matt Holliday, wasn't it? And they met with the manager and said they were working too hard in spring training. Didn't that happen?
Yes, it did.
And, you know, you wonder, and I do find it odd, too, that the manager's the one blamed for the fundamentals, but yet there was a clubhouse thing that they were being pushed too hard in spring training and wanted to regulate their own work. When that happened, I mean, it people forget that that happened. So, and one of the culprits, by the way, that was involved in that meeting was Matt Carpenter. He was part of it.
Well, let me tell you something. That's wrong on two counts. One, you can't let players dictate what's going to go down. You know, in history, I said I taught history. I told him right up front, I said, hey, I'm going to teach democracy, but you're not going to have democracy in this class. If you start letting your kids dominate things and parents dominate things, you got problems. And that's part of the problem today. We've got too many influence. We've got a minority, like two kids, want something, and then that'll benefit those two, but it won't benefit the whole 1,200 students.
Well, and is that the business of the game rearing its ugly head? Guys are getting millions of dollars, and people are buying into the, well, they need this. They don't need you know. Well, I find it interesting. Like yesterday, it was a day game. They don't take batting practice in the morning outside. But yet they're hitting in a tunnel until the game starts. I mean, it's not like, you know, and I know a lot of coaches will say, hey, sometimes you don't need to take BP. You need a day off. You know, I get that. I understand. I'm not a dummy. I know the body, you know, you can only do so much. I get all that. And some guys overdo it and they do this kind of stuff. So I understand all that. I just think, I don't know that there's a perfect way to do anything. I think guys got to figure it out. Now look at this club here. Okay, let's talk about where we're at right now. You brought it up. Okay, we've talked about it on the show. You know, look at August, going two games over 500 in August, and then now in September we've got call-ups. We've changed the bullpen around. We've done all this stuff, and we're 10-3. So we finally found something that worked, right?
Well, that's part of the game, though.
Okay,
you've got to make adjustments.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and here's where the game gets interesting, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen here any day, right? We got guys coming back from the DL that may or may not have been getting it done. So my assumption is going to be is that Dexter Fowler, when he comes back, and I think rightfully so, is going to go right in the lineup. No doubt about it. Okay. Who are you going to take out? Well, I think that one's easy. It's probably Bader. Now, he's had a couple flashes, but I think on the whole, I don't know that he's not going to be better than Dexter Fowler right now. So that one's easy. My tough question for you is, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now, if I'm making out the lineup, Tommy Pham plays center field. But I get it. If they feel like they made an off-the-record promise and they don't want to piss off future guys, and that's part of the business. So Dexter Fowler is going to play center field, and Pham's going to play left. Who are you going to put in right field?
Well, that's a problem. You know, you might want to – you got to play Martinez. I mean, this guy is
well, see, you're jumping ahead on me, Coach, because I was going to say, do you put Martinez out there, move Carpenter back to first, put Jerko back at third?
You just can't say, all right, I'm going to put somebody in right field. You got to look at the whole team, who can play where and who can play what.
Well, he's not the best outfielder by any stretch.
He's not very good. Now, here's what you do. His best position is first base.
Well, he's been better lately. It wasn't, but it is now.
He's a lot better.
Well, but you know what? But then he misses the ball the other day because his footwork isn't there. So.
I saw it. Yeah. I saw it. Well, Carpenter's no first baseman either.
No, absolutely not.
His footwork is pathetic.
He can't, well, and he can't throw the ball from third to first.
He's got that bad shoulder. But let's take Martinez first, and then we'll get into the right field. Martinez needs a crash course. Now, I know he's asked people to help him at first base. That's going to be his position. The guy has to play, though, Jim, and we don't have a DH. So he's got to go to first, and that's when you get a crash course. I don't care if you have to go hire Albert Pujols. Get somebody over there, teach him to play first, and give him a crash course for 1 week.
Well, I will say this. He's been working. He's way better over there. What happened the other day is a product of the fact that you just haven't played 1,000 games there.
Right.
That is just an odd play where his footwork was off, and when that happens, it looks so simple to us on TV, but it's not. Okay, he got crossed up. He, you know, I watched a thing the other day. You know my younger son is a middle infielder, and he's really been working on his game lately a lot, and he's been watching all this stuff. And the other day he was watching a YouTube video on Robinson Cano playing second. He was watching him turn a double play. and they asked Robinson Cano why they thought he was one of the best at turning double play, and he said, well, you know, I appreciate that or whatever, but I think there's other guys like Dustin Pedroia, whatever. But he goes, through talking to them, I find that we all do the same thing. The guys that are really good at it, when we approach the bag, we expect a bad throw. Okay? That's from reps. Guy like Jose Martinez has not had a lot of reps at first. Seems to be like it's going to be a fairly easy play, and the next thing you know, he gets a bad throw. He's not prepared for it. Just like you would teach a high school kid, you need to always be prepared for a bad throw. Sometimes you get lax at the big league level because the throws are usually pretty good. And, again, you look at, as a coach, when you see a guy that's good at something and he can do it, you know, it's one thing to be really good, and it's another thing to say, look, you can play the position. You can field. You can work. You're an athlete. You can do this. The only thing left for you now is you need to see 1,000 ground balls.
Thank you.
Right?
You're right.
That's it. And how do you and it's not – and again, that doesn't happen overnight. That's an every day, every week. So my take on it is, from what I've seen the last month, Jose Martinez could be a good first baseman over time. No doubt about it.
He needs a crash course right now to get him through the season, and then you just work with him, really crash. Okay, let's take 98. All right, let's just take our team, the Edwardsville Tigers. I had a kid, a sophomore, Matt Evers, that played the outfield because I had an opening there. He's an athlete. He can hit, so he goes there. The next year, I put him in another outfield position, and then the third year, I don't have a first baseman in 98. So I take Evers, who is an athlete like Martinez. And you talk about a crash course. We could call Matt Evers in here. He still has red marks on his chest from taking point-blank ground balls off a fungo bat. Now, if you can take a ground ball off a fungo bat and me 5 feet away from you, about 30 of those every day, you can feel anything, and then you become fearless. Just like we talked about, it's not that he's afraid, but now he is fearless because he's had every ground ball imaginable. We worked on pickoffs. We worked on positioning. We kind of helped him along a little bit early, you know, where to play, positioned him. But he became an expert and a great first baseman, and he's a high school kid. You know, Martinez could be great. That's my point. Now, getting back to batting practice, hey, I'm not a big fan of batting practice before a game. I think just go get loose. The soft toss, batting tee, in a cage, have a guy throw you a few pitches. That's fine with me because that batting practice to me is a little bit of a waste of time because they're lobbing it in there. You know, it's the same old thing, and then they all want to powder the ball out and have the – go goo goo. The fans go, oh my golly, look at that one. But so that doesn't bother me. I'd rather them work on defense. But the thing I heard is they're not doing that much defense either, infield practice, you know. And they need to do that, definitely do that. So it depends on what works, what doesn't work. As far as players go, you've got to – play your best. And that's tough because, like you addressed it, Jim, if you're paying a guy $15 million and this other guy is from Memphis making $500,000, that's tough. But you know what? You got to win. It's a business, but it's still a winning business. You got to win in order to get the fans in. Because the fans are going to start abandoning the Cardinals a little bit. Not completely, but a little bit more. And you see the stands. They're not full. Now, they might have had their tickets sold, but they're not full.
Well, you know, you're right. No doubt about it. They're not full, and the tickets may be sold. I've maintained that people think, well, their tickets are still sold, and I've said, well, they're a business, so they feel that in the pocketbook when those cash registers aren't ringing. You know, I've seen more games lately in person. It's always nice when our good friend and again, I want to let everybody know too, Benji's on an airplane on his way back to Arizona, and that's why he's not with us today. But you know, when Benji's in town, we have a real nice time with him down at the stadium, and we get to, you know, obviously be a part of more games in person and experience it that way. So we do appreciate that as well. But you know, it's funny to listen to Benji talk sometimes. You know, he's an old school guy like you are, and I wanted to get your take on this, and this is something that I've noticed.
Can I interrupt here? I want to talk about Molina's. Now, like I said, I've met Yachty once real close. We talked for about 20 minutes. But I don't know him that well, and I don't certainly have never met Benji. But let me just tell you what I think. I think they were raised right. I think they love the game. They've been taught to love the game. And the Latino has a certain desire that is unlike a lot of other kids that come up. And you're seeing a lot more Latinos in the major leagues. I mean, there's a ton of them because they're hungry. They know the game because they play it all the time. And their dads are coaching them, or some coaches coaching them in Puerto Rico or Jamaica or Venezuela or wherever. And they learn the game. And they learn, hey, you got to hit behind the runner at certain times. You got to look for certain pitches. Hey, you got to be bare down with two strikes on you. Look for anything and react. You can't guess. Be a guess hitter. If you're a guess hitter, you're done. You got to see white and react. But the Molinas play the game right. They know the game, and they're hungry. Even though Yachty got the big contract, he still loves the game. You can tell. Now, he does some things I don't particularly care for, but that's because he's not fast, and he's a catcher, and he's got to squat all day. He doesn't really hustle sometimes. But in his case, I want to defend him because he is the catcher. He's squatting all the time. He plays more games behind the plate than anybody else, and he's not paid to really hustle to first base.
Do you find it odd how well he does this down the stretch like this? I mean, it seems like every talk show on AM radio's talking about, or an FM, because they're just like, this is the total opposite of what you'd expect. You'd think he's caught all these games. You'd think he'd be all run down. But, you know, I think what people tend to just look at when it comes to Yachty is he loves the lights. I mean, when the game gets big, he gets bigger. You know, that doesn't mean he's going to be perfect every game. But the bottom line is the guy, you know, he's been there, doesn't faze him, loves to play. You know, we sat, you know, and again, they were unbelievable seats, but something happened yesterday in the game that, you know, these are the only types of things you can see if for some reason you happen to be paying attention to it and get lucky sometimes. But the at-bat, Jose Martinez, the base hit, he swung at an awful curveball, was so far out in front, and I'm not kidding, this happened right in front of us, and we all noticed it. He looks at Yachty on deck, and Yachty gives him a look and does this with his fist and looks at him and goes, come on, you can do that. Like, that's what he did. And Jose looked at him. And he gets that base hit the next time, and Yachty, for the next 30 seconds, did nothing but look down at him and give him that confident look. Like, I don't think people understand how far that goes.
Oh,
when,
Jim,
when you're a leader.
Jim. He is the leader. When Chris Carpenter left, now Yachty's always been kind of the leader. But he's not the leader. I think Carpenter, even Wainwright is a leader. But the real thing about Yachty, he is leadership. And that's a great point. You know, a lot of people don't see that. You noticed it, and that's big. All you have to do sometimes is give a look. We mentioned Chad Opel a while ago that played 98. He never got yelled. He never said anything much to the kids. But his leadership was look at him. He's got a sophomore or a junior playing at third and a junior playing at second. He's playing short. He just look at him. If they did something wrong or if there was a base running mistake, he would just look at him. Of course, I'm yelling at him, but his leadership wasn't yelling. His leadership was just glancing at him. Coach Waldo got as much out of kids by just looking at him. I give him kind of that dog look, you know, that droopy-eyed dog look, like I did something wrong. Well, his look, they would get, that's all the kids had to see because they didn't want to let him down. Now me, they didn't want to let me down because I like to win so much, but also they didn't want me yelling at them. Let me ask you something, Jimmy. Do you like praise and Tom Pyle's arm around you? Or do you want me stripping you because you got picked off first base and didn't read your keys? What do you want? Now you're still second base, and you come in and score, and I put my arm around you and said, beautiful steal, Jim, beautiful. What do you want? You want the praise, or do you want the Tom Pyle yell?
Well, who doesn't want – everybody wants praise.
Thank
That's
you.
It. That's life.
Thank you.
You've heard me say this before. Why does a two-year-old kid not put his finger in a light in a electrical outlet? He doesn't do it because he knows he shouldn't do it. He doesn't do it because he knows if he does it, you're going to smack his hand, and he doesn't like it. Right? Nobody wants to get yelled at. Nobody wants to fail. Nobody wants to but the game
that
is,
example, though, is a little extreme.
Well, I'm just saying, though. I say it all the time. I mean, you have to understand what you're doing here. And in this instance, everybody wants praise. Everybody. And again, I see sometimes people, like, when a guy screws up, they want the manager to stand up there and scream and holler and act like a fool. Well, number one, that's part of being a manager. You got to find a way to motivate these guys without completely tearing them down. And again, we're not talking about high school kids either. We're talking about grown men. We're talking about guys that make millions of dollars. It's a different world. Now, and I've always said this too, you don't know what goes on in those locker rooms.
No, we haven't got a clue.
You know, we haven't got a clue. And you and I have talked about this before too. I mean, I've said this thousands of times. Listen, there is no doubt, Mike has enough problems. Okay, he struggles. I'll never understand some of the bullpen stuff. Although I will say this, if your bullpen's better, you're automatically a smarter. There's right. No doubt about it. Right. But the one thing he does do that is without fail is like what happened the other day. He brings in a guy and isn't thinking to move ahead. That happens to him all the time. There should have been a right-hander getting loose, and he can defend Sheriff against. But I'm sorry. I know you're not a big fan of this, but the reality of it is there's no way Sheriff should have pitched to Suarez the other night. No way, especially in September with 11 guys down there. There's no way. Now, that being said.
Well, let me interrupt there. I don't think it's right-hand, left-hander. I just don't think this guy, Sheriff, is the right choice then because he's a rookie. And if he was so good, he had been up before.
Well, and I'll give you that, too. Like, if Tyler Lyons was in the game, then I'd have left Tyler Lyons in. Because right. I think Tyler's proven that he can do it. Even though I'm not a complete numbers guy, I think sometimes they're so drastic you can't ignore them. And Suarez's numbers, lefties versus righties, is something that, you know, I don't want any numbers that show me a small percentage. But when it's that drastic, you have to pay attention. So I think there's a happy medium with all of it. Now, that being said, there's no doubt when you have a good bullpen, you get smarter automatically. And the bottom line is their bullpen hadn't been very good. So he's dumb by virtue. But he does have his problems. The one thing I refuse to believe he has a problem with, and you and I have talked about this, there is no way that the guy that you and I watch play is soft. There is no way the guy that you and I watch play doesn't care about defense. No way. That's the only reason he was in the league. Now, does he know how to manage a game? I don't know. I mean, some guys are better at it than others, and I've seen him make plenty of mistakes. I've also seen him do the right things, and they don't work out, and people just want to jump him for it. So people think sometimes I'm an Athene apologist. Sometimes people think I'm too hard on him, whatever. I don't really care what people think. I know what I'm trying to get across, and what I'm trying to get across is when we have problems, they're not all driven just by the manager. No doubt about that.
Well, I kind of disagree with you a second time, Jimmy.
Well, I love it.
I think he is a little soft. And the reason I use that word soft is because, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I know a guy that works for the Cardinals, and he's around Matheny every day. And I asked him, I said, hey, what do you think of Matheny? And he wouldn't answer. You know, he wouldn't reveal it. And I says, hey, what do you really think? He says, I think he's soft. He used that word, so I'm using his word soft. And I can explain that if you want, but I'm not going to get into that because I just think that's just my opinion. Hey, and I know he's got a heck of a job, and I like Mike, and I think he was a good little ball player. He got a lot out of it. He just doesn't have the experience, and he doesn't – and that was a good point you used, thinking the game a batter ahead or an inning ahead. You think Whitey Herzog was an inning ahead?
Always.
Do you think he was a batter ahead?
Hey, on
you
that,
know what you need
hey,
to do? Talk to Whitey Herzog hey, for about 5 hours.
I have, and multiple times. It's a joy.
It's a happening.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's better than
you know what
climbing,
kills me. You know what I love?
Pike's Peak.
You know what I love though? so many people bring Whitey back. But then I see on Twitter every time we bunt, everybody freaking out about bunting, and I'm like, well, I can promise you, if Whitey was here, we'd be bunting more. I can promise you that.
Well,
here's the thing about Whitey. I don't give a shit who's batting. If it was first and second, nobody out, chances are we're probably bunting. I don't give it. If it ain't Jack Clark, we were bunting.
Yeah. Why? See, Whitey won with less talent. See, I always thought Tony had tremendous talent.
Yes.
And should have won more than two World Series.
I agree with that.
He coached 33 years. He won three World Series. In Oakland, he should have won three or four. They were great. And then in Cardinals, he had Rollins, he had Edmonds, and he had Pujols, three potential MVPs. And he had great pitching. So that's why I was a little bit – and I think we could have won a lot more games if he would have done a little hit behind the runner, steal. How about – how'd the double steal – you were down there. How'd the double steal work for us yesterday, Jimmy?
Well, we're great.
Oh, did it? Really? So we go – here we are. We're ahead 2-1. Or no, we're ahead nothing.
We're losing 1-0.
We're down 1-0. Tommy Pham gets on base, still second.
Right. They walk DeJong.
Now we got first and second, two out. And I'll be darned. They double stole third and second. Now we got two runners in scoring position. Your number four's up. He's at number four for a reason. He's in the RBI slot. And then I guess he got the look from Yachty, which helped, and he gets a base hit.
Well, yeah, and that was a called double steal. That wasn't a Tommy Pham stole because
how do you know that?
Because DeJong went too.
Okay.
If a runner on second goes on his own, a lot of times the guy on first doesn't know he's going and he's looking in.
Right.
That was called.
But Tommy Pham can give him a sign too.
No, that's what I mean. It was planned.
Yeah.
Like somebody, and judging by the fact that there was no throw, they had something on the pitcher. Again, I've said this 100 times too. What do you think they're doing with those stopwatches? How long does it take him to come? They know if it takes him 1 point something, anything more than 1 point whatever to get home, we can steal.
Well, and to Matheny's, I'm going to defend him a little bit. You know, he doesn't have a lot of speed out there either. And he doesn't have guys that are used to stealing bases. Where Whitey went out and got speed because of the AstroTurf and some other factors. And he got speed, and he got guys that you had to play small ball because you didn't have the thumper. But we don't have a lot of thumpers in there now. So I'm going to defend Matheny, say he doesn't have a lot of speed to his defense. And he had some relievers there in the middle that weren't doing the job. My complaint was, why do you keep using O when he has had no success for five games? And I said that, Jim. I was up having lunch with my buddies, and I said, bring up the young guys. And you addressed the point. If Wainwright, put him in there for, you know, when he still had the arm and no injury, put him in relief. You know, everybody's on Wainwright's case. He's 12-7. I mean, the guy wins, and he's a competitor. Put him down in there and let him win, because that's the way they play now. Sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning, you're going to have a different pitcher. Well, then let's put Wainwright in there at one of those innings, like 8 or 9 even. But I know he's not – they say he's not groomed to be a reliever. What do you got to be groomed to throw a baseball? You either throw it right, you either got location and movement, or you throw it down the middle and they hit it out of the park.
Interestingly enough, though, on that, I want to get your thought on this. Why are the last three outs so hard to get? You can't deny that. Like you just said, you would think a guy that's really good, just put him in the ninth inning if he's that electric. Those outs are so damn hard to get.
Well, it's pressure, and they're bearing down. They know it's their last rap, so and it's time to go. But you know the other thing about relievers. Now you bring in a reliever. He's a right-handed batter. Let's say it's Rosie, right-handed. When he's going good, hey, now you got a left-handed batter. Who's in there? You go get a lefty. No, you leave Rosie. Now you got a right-hander, and then a left-hander. Hey, you leave your best pitcher in. Then why don't you do it in the seventh? Why don't you do it in the sixth? If Lyons is better than Sheriff, is that his name, Sheriff?
Yeah.
If Lyons is better than Sheriff, let him pitch.
Well, I'll say this, because before you get – listen, you're not everybody's blessed with having all these dominant relievers. Okay, and this is another thing that I don't think people understand. Nobody wants to be a middle. Nobody wants to be a bullpen guy. Everybody wants to be a starter. The guys in the bullpen weren't good enough to start. That's it. And they're happy to be in that bullpen, and they fill a role. The bottom line is, though, they're not as good as those starters. They're just not. Now, a starter gets tired is why you take him out. You don't take him out because he's not your best pitcher. You take him out because he's done. He's lost it, or he doesn't have it today, whatever. How many times did Chris Carpenter take the mound and you'd watch him the first or second inning and think, you know, he doesn't have his good stuff today, but he found a way to get it done more than not, for sure. But these guys in the bullpen are guys that just throughout their career have not proven that they can be starters and pitch seven innings. It's a pretty simple thing. That being said, so I get the sixth inning, the seventh inning, mix and match, blah, blah, blah. But to your point, I would hope you had an eighth inning guy, especially based on the way baseball's played today. I would hope you had a guy that you say, listen, when we have a lead and it's three runs or less, I got a guy I'm going to put in there in the eighth, and I got a guy I'm going to put in there in the ninth. You would hope so. But heck, Whitey Herzog coached how many games without that guy?
Well, he be honest with you, he said the number one player on my team is the closer. And he believed in the closer. That's why he went out and got some good ones. But the thing of it is, if you're into sixth, seventh, and eighth inning like they are, and that's the trend, and everybody follows everybody too, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's all it took was, the Rangers?
Somebody.
Not the Rangers. The Royals had this dominant bullpen. Now Cleveland did the same thing. I mean, right. They're all, yeah.
They look at each, they're like mockingbirds. It's like Casey Stengel.
We're going to make it a six-inning game, you know. Yeah. Once we get to the seventh, it's over.
Yeah, right, and I don't like that. Casey Stengel, you know, platooned. Then everybody platooned. You know, somebody's got to start it. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Hey, he got all of his knowledge from a French philosopher and a English philosopher and reading and things. He wrote it. But the thing of it is, he used a lot of other people's stuff. Just like me, coaching. Hey, I didn't invent how to steal a base. But you know what? I stole because that was my game. I love that, and I love to bunt, and I love to move runners. But you've got to – if we're going to do it that way, Jim, let's go four innings. Let's back it up some. Let's let a starter go four. Get your 10, 11, 12 starters in the pitching and have one closer or maybe two closers and 12 starters, and let's do it that way and let them go four because they got a strong arm. Then the next guy goes four. Then you got two pitchers, and then the next guy closes, or you let the guy that went four go five. And that way – You got a fresh arm, and you keep rotating them, and they go four or three or two or whatever. But if you want to do something and create and get outside the box, let's do something like that then, because I don't like this sixth, seventh, eighth inning business.
Okay, last thing before we talk a little, before we get into this series, because you can't, I mean, you know, it's Cards Cubs. It's time to get it going. Benji said on here, a number of times, and I know that Whitey was big on this, you got to give the team 50 at-bats. You got to give, throughout the course of a season, 50 at-bats belong to the team. And I think you alluded to that earlier with some bunts, hitting the ball the other way, making sure you get it in the air with a runner on third. Now, of those 50, not all 50 are going to be successful. You're going to fail in some of those. But the whole thought process of giving the team at-bats versus the greater good, that was ultimately, if you've ever talked to Whitey, and he was very honest and open about it, and I think, you know, he talked about it at length, it's ultimately what drove him out of St. Louis, is that, you know, when the ownership got a little stingy, he said, hey, how am I supposed to ask a guy, I need you to move a runner over, I need you to bunt, I need you to do this, when these guys are coming up and they know they're not going to get paid? How am I supposed to coach the game that way? I can't coach it that way. I don't know how to. I coached and was successful because I had guys that believed in what I was telling them, and now I'm looking at them, asking them to believe in what I'm telling them, and they're not going to be rewarded for doing what I'm telling them to do.
Well, he got out of baseball, not St. Louis necessarily. I think he was out in the West Coast, maybe the Angels or somewhere, and he's done. He was done because they couldn't play the game the way he liked. They couldn't hit the cutoff. They didn't run the bases right. They were uncoachable because of the big money and their prima donnas. And Whitey Herzog, the guy that – and he probably regretted it. But he got out of the game because the purity of the game had deteriorated. Now, you can ask him that, and he'll tell you, no, I had to get out. I was going crazy.
Well, I don't, you know, whether it's bunting, moving a runner over, all fundamental parts of the game that make it great. No doubt about it, this series this weekend, I don't know how you see it shaping up, but it just, you know, you look at this season as it, like, on a grand scheme, right? And it, boy, doesn't it just seem that that's what's, something like that's going to be the difference this weekend? I mean, you could look at it either way. And again, that's easy to say, right? You could sit here and look at this thing and say, man, I just got that feeling that a play's not going to be made. Or, and we're going to sit here and go, once again, we just can't make the routine play. Or you're going to look at it at the end and say, man, we really played better down the stretch.
Well, we got to play better, and you got to play defense. You can't give a team 4 and 5 outs. I mean,
not in that ballpark.
Not in any park, and especially Wrigley. But the thing of it is, too, Jimmy, that's going to come back to haunt us. I think that's what's going to beat us in Chicago. They got, here's what happens in a lot of the teams that beat us. There'll be a ball hit to center field, and this guy runs in the gap. We got two runners on, he catches it. Now, we got a ball that's not hit in the gap, let's say, for example, and we don't get to it. It's not an error, but we just didn't get to it, and we should have, because we got a bad break. We didn't have the fundamentals. The guy didn't take the right angle. Something didn't work, and then they get to. There's a big difference in one play they made and one play we didn't make, and that's the problem with the Cardinals. They can't even make some routine plays, which are very glaring, but there's a lot of plays they don't make that you don't see in the box score as an error, but it's a play that they did not make. Like, they didn't turn the double play the other day. And I'll tell you another thing, our pitchers have cost themselves a lot of, especially Martinez.
Oh, yeah, we've had some pitching errors, no doubt.
Well, and that cost him two victories, or at least potential two wins. And now we've got, remember when we beat Detroit in the World Series?
They couldn't field a bunt.
They couldn't field a bunt.
Or catch a fly ball.
And Leland said, hey, we work on that in spring training. Yeah, you did, Jim, but that was back in March. This is October. You got to work at that a little bit, or at least make them aware of it a little bit each and every week.
You know, I you're right. There's no doubt about it. The play's got to be made. Pitches got to be made. People got to hit. Let's look at this weekend. Okay, let's start with today's matchup. We've got Carlos Martinez, arguably our best pitcher. Now, he's 11-10. I don't put a lot of, you know, wins and losses for a starter's tough. You mentioned it. I mean, sometimes he's hurt himself. Sometimes he's been hurt by lack of production. He's got a quality ERA. There's no doubt about it. And when he's on, he's electric. We're going to face that veteran in John Lackey, who, you know, Benji speaks very highly of. He was a rookie when John Lackey came up when Benji was catching in Anaheim. And he says, you know, the thing that you're never going to get away from this guy, and I think it's pretty evident, is the competitiveness from this guy. He lives for things like this. I'll be curious to see how today's game goes. Couple things I want to get your opinion on.
Let's go to this matchup. Martinez has got better stuff, is a better pitcher today than Lackey. But the tangibles are twofold. One, Lackey will compete. Martinez has got great stuff. I question whether he competes every inning. Is he really focused in on it? Is he a little bit of flake? I mean, anybody wears purple hair, and he's an adult, has got to be a little bit of a flake. And does he stay on task like a Carpenter, the pitcher Carpenter,
yeah,
and Wainwright, and Bob Gibson? You think Bob Gibson's going to dye his hair purple? Do you think Carpenter is going to dye his hair orange? Because of the only guy I knew that had some success and dyed something was Spezio, when he dyed his beard, his little goatee, red, and then he got a triple, and he got some key
And then
hits.
Everybody had red soul patches.
That's right. I wonder where it
was. Well, hey, I'm telling you right now, if Martinez lights it up down the stretch and we win a World Series anchored by Martinez, I might get my hair purple, and I think yours would look good purple, too.
Yeah, well, I got good-looking hair. I don't need to get it purple.
Well, isn't that part of it, though, too? If somebody has success, he says that in the movie, too, right? He says, listen, you can't have fungus on your shower shoes. if you, you know, if you make it to the bigs, you can have fungus on your shower shoes, but until then, it's not, you know, that the whole thing there.
Well, you can afford a pedicure. You don't need to have it.
It's, you know, until I just, you know, I'm looking at this matchup and I'm thinking, you know, again, by the eye and even by the numbers, you got to go with Martinez. I think the starting pitching, I don't know that it'll be the issue in this. I'm going to look at, okay, how are we going to play the game? You know, there's no doubt in my opinion that it's going to come down to, number one, who are you going to play in right field? You going to play Piscotty or Grichik?
I play Grichik.
Yep, I would too. I'm not quite sure happening.
Yeah,
I think
he's got a better arm, although Piscotty's arm's decent. But here's the thing too, Martinez. Let's match it up though. If you go position by position, who do you like?
If I was going to set a lineup right now?
Between the Cardinals and Cubs.
Well, I guess I'd have to start with...
You want Rizzo or Martinez?
Well, I got to go with Rizzo.
You want... what's his name?
Baez.
Baez.
Well, I love
or
Baez.
Wong? Well, sure you do.
Wong's had a great year. No doubt about it.
For him.
Yeah. No, he's hitting 300. He's played good defense.
Decent. Fair. Want Baez? I'm just asking. You want Baez or you want Wong?
I'm a Baez fan.
Me
People
too.
Don't like him. They don't like him. He's too flashy for him, but he's a really good player. But
and he can field, buddy.
And he can, and he's really, really good.
You want Russell or DeJong?
I'll take DeJong right now. No doubt about that.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
No doubt about it.
Although defense is probably Russell.
Russell is very good defensively, but you can't argue with the Dave DeJong time. So
no,
DeJong.
I'm not.
I know what you're doing here. I know what you're doing here.
You want?
Don't Chris even ask Bryant? The question. That's,
do you want
move
that
on.
Guy in left field who's a Scherzer or something?
No, I'll go with our left fielder.
Who is ours?
Tommy Pham.
Okay, I'll give you those two.
I would hope.
Now Jay's playing a lot in center field. I would say.
I'll take Dex.
Well, if Dex is in there, I'd take him probably over Jay. Although Jay he gets about two hits every game, one or two.
I like our outfield better.
Yeah, maybe. I don't.
I like our outfield better.
And then if you make an error or two, it's going to come down to who makes a great, just like I said, who makes a great play and takes runs away and hits away and who doesn't and lets them in. That's going to come down to that. And if that's the case, the reason the Cardinals aren't better this year is that fact, because we've got some great Cardinal pitching, starting pitching. It's been the relief, the defense, the base running, and movement of the baseball at key times, and that's why we haven't had the success that all of us Cardinal fans want.
Well, we have a lineup. It's out. So looks like Fowler is not ready to go yet. He will play Bader in center, and Piscotty will play right field today with Pham in left. So no Jerko yet either. Carpenter at third.
Well, how come to you, a common layman?
Commoner. I'm a commoner.
You're a commoner that's from Granite City, and, you know, and then you would put Grichik in there in place of Piscotty, and me, a commoner from Winchester, Illinois, would put Grichik in there. And if you surveyed all Cardinal fans, I'd say it'd be 70%, 65%, 70% would say Grichik.
That's right.
And why is the other dude in there then?
I have no idea. But
money.
Here's what I do know
money.
About life.
Money.
But here's what I do know. No, that's not necessarily true because, well, I will say this. They obviously think a lot of Bader in center because you could have easily played Pham in center and played Piscotty and Grichik. Could have.
No, I don't mind Bader. I like his speed. I like to see him run a little more. But no, it's Grichik. We all think it'd be Grichik, and how comes with Piscotty?
Well, here's what I will say. This is what makes this thing interesting, and always will. The bottom line is this: if Piscotty has a good day today, nobody will say, "Boy, that was the right call." But if Piscotty has a bad day, it's real easy to say, "Well, Grichik should have played, and Grichik would have got a couple of hits or hit a home run."
But wait a minute, right. But why would you? Why are you don't want to go with Piscotty? Tell me why.
Why don't I? I don't think he's done enough. Now he's been better. He's been better.
Yeah, the problem.
Listen, I'm not the biggest Grichik fan in the world.
I'm not either.
You know, but he's. I think he's done better than Piscotty this year. Now Piscotty's done okay since he came back from this last stint. But I don't know. Like I said,
I think they both got potential to be very good ball players all around, you know.
Here's the deal. I don't think it matters.
They fell too much.
That's right. Here's my problem.
Both of them.
I don't either one of them. You can play either one of them. I don't really care.
They're
nothing more. They're nothing more than what they are. What I call social media fodder. And the reason is this: they are those guys that when one plays and the other doesn't, and the one that played had no success, naturally the other one would have had a good day. People love that. That's number one. And number two, even if the guy that does play had a good day, we're still going to find a way to complain that the other guy wasn't in there. It's like people right now that still want Carson Kelly to play. Are you out of your mind right now? Are you out of your mind that you think Carson Kelly needs at bats right now? You got to be kidding me with this.
No, I don't. I'd go with Malin.
He needs to sit there
and learn.
And learn. Now, we can argue whether or not he should be down at AAA and if it'd be better for him. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that anybody can tell you for sure one way or the other. But what I will tell you is if he was at AAA, I wouldn't care, and I really don't care that he's sitting on the bench. The bottom line is Yachty's going to play.
Well, you got to have a backup, and you got to get your best backup, whoever that may be. But the thing of it is, look, you know what baseball is, and hockey and football and basketball? It's like the Romans. They go to the theater and the Coliseum to see the Christians and the Lions. Unfortunately, the Lions were 76 and the Christians were nothing, and that's not right. But you were spectators, sport, and you can criticize and you can give opinions on, and that's what they do. They take out their frustration, and I'm one of the worst. I take out my frustrations and my grumpiness from being 73 years old, and I take it out on the Cardinals. You know, I don't have a dog, you know, and I mean, I've got the Cardinals, and when you're, and it's in your blood, and you love them, but we criticize, and that's part of it and part of the game.
Oh, God, I'm one of the worst. Are you kidding me? I look at this thing and I say, okay, how are we going to find a way to win? Because that's what I believe. I want to find a way to win. And I don't care how they get there. Doesn't matter to me. I want to try to find a way to win. Let's go. Let's say, so here we are. I'm putting you on the spot. So you got Martinez versus Lackey today. Who you got, Cardinals or Cubs today?
I think the Cubs will win. Because, wow. Not because of Martinez.
Okay.
I think they'll win because of some kind of a play that will go awry.
Okay, so you got them today. Tomorrow we have Waka facing Hendricks. Hendricks was very good last year. This year he's been okay.
Waka's better than Hendricks. Martinez is better than Lackey this year.
Okay.
Waka is better than Hendricks this year.
Okay, who's going to win then tomorrow?
Cubs.
Cubs again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Holy moly. Okay. Wow. All right. And then let's just fast forward this puppy to Sunday. I mean, we got Lance Lynn facing Jose Quintana, the lefty. Who's going to win that game?
Lance Lynn is better than that pitcher because Lynn's our best, one of our best. Our three starters, that's what I've been trying to tell you, Jim. Our starting pitching is excellent, but why do we lose? Because we don't get enough runs, we don't get the timely hit, we don't move the ball, we don't hit behind runners, we make some kind of a play, we make errors, but then we make some kind of a play that's routine that's not made, and that's why we lose. It's not because of Martinez or Lynn. You know what Lynn's record should be? He should have 18 wins this year. I don't know how many times he's been taken out. There was one place in there they had three runs and four starts for him. I mean, this guy has been ahead five games, and when he takes out in the sixth inning, and they lost to the bullpen, coughed it up.
Okay, so are you saying we're going to lose Sunday too? We're going to get swept?
I think so.
Oh, boy. Okay, so let me ask you this. So
that's what I think.
Okay, so hang on, though.
And I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's the other way
around.
All right,
so here's what I'm going to end with. They're only three games better than us this year, but you got us getting swept?
Yep.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
No, I hope I'm wrong.
Well, this is like a precursor for anything I ever say on the show. Anytime I'm ever upset about anything or I don't believe in a guy, listen, I've never been more happy to be wrong about a guy than I was about Tommy Pham. I watched Tommy Pham for 2.5. Now, there were times when he looked like a good player, and I think the Cardinals believed in him a couple years ago, and then he got hurt again. And my problem with Tommy Pham was, and I used to say this, it isn't that the guy can't play. He takes awful at-bats. Well, I can tell you right now, I've watched him play enough games this year. He takes a good at-bat now. His approach has gotten better. That could just be everybody progresses at their own rate and gets better at their own time. Some guys it's early. Some guys are forced into the fire. Some guys are this and that. But his at-bats are tremendous.
Or somebody told him something that he said, I'm going to do it this way. See, his eyesight's been the whole problem, really. But Tommy,
well, see, I don't know enough about that. I know what I read. I don't know the whole fact.
Well, me too. Yeah. I don't know. I don't go down and check his eyes. But he plays the game the right way. I mean, of all the Cardinals, he plays besides Molina, he plays it the right way. He's hungry. He's aggressive. He wants to win. He's a no-nonsense guy, which doesn't matter. I mean, I don't mind you clowning around. That doesn't bother me a bit, as long as you produce. But I'm so happy for him. I mean, how old is he? 29, 30?
No, he's 30. He's an older guy.
Well, Martinez is 29. These two guys, you got to give them credit. They've been in the minor leagues all these years, paid their dues, and now they're having some success. Now, I heard a rumor, and I think it's a rumor, but I heard it. Tommy Pham made a bet with Molina in spring training, and he didn't even come up. He said, I will hit 20 home runs, I will steal over 20 bases, and I'll hit 300. Now, that's a guy that's not even on the roster. I mean, the guy that's coming north.
All right, listen. Again, this is purely just watching the way some things went in the past. I've said on here, Colton Wong was a frustrating guy for me. Randall Grichuk's been a frustrating guy, and I've said 1,000 times. But we need Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk to be as good as we think they can be if we're going to be any good. Because when you're counting on guys, you need them to produce.
Well, if Grichuk and Piscotty, they would be our corner outfield, and then Fowler. If those three guys, you know, Piscotty hit 292, I think, last year. If he would hit 292 and be productive, and if Grichuk could hit around 280 and be productive, which he's, you know, at times, we would be real good, and if we would make the routine play. Now, I'll tell you somebody I'd like to see, and you might not agree, and him learn how to play third base, and I think he is, and I'm a fan of his, even though he might have some problems that we don't know about, is that Diaz. I think he could play third. DeJean at short, Wong at second, and then you've got yourself a good young nucleus at the infield, and then get a good backup in the middle infield, and then Martinez and get you another first baseman, a bopper, and play Martinez at first.
I think, again, this is purely an opinion, but
of course, I don't have Carpenter in there. You got to find kind of a spot for
him.
What
are you going to do with him? I mean, okay, so my thing is, and just again, this is completely just me looking at what I see going on, and that is, I think they've resigned themselves to the fact that Diaz is done only because of this. Number one, he's no better than what DeJong's done, no doubt about it. DeJong, no different. No, I mean, hands down, the issue with him was going to be, was he going to be good enough defensively? Because he, you know, was he a third baseman, shortstop? The bottom line is he's played defense every bit as good, if not better, than Diaz, number one. Number two, he's got legit pop, and he's hit well. So that's a non-issue. As far as Diaz playing third, I don't see that happening because, number one, they've got Jerko on this, and it is a friendly deal, and he's a proven home run hitter in the big leagues. And they got Patrick Wisdom down there that's hitting 30 home runs. And, you know, so if you're going to live with a guy over there, why not live with a third baseman that's actually got some tools that you like? Listen, the bottom line is this. Do I appreciate what Diaz did last year? Of course I do. You'd be an idiot not to. But it was so far out of the realm of what he's been able to do in his whole career that you got to look at it and say, was it an aberration or is that really who he is? Well, he came up this year and couldn't duplicate it. You can only live with a guy so long that's not proven.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give Matheny a little due here, too. You know, he's got a problem. He's got a problem because he's got three or four third basemen. And then one of them would come through, like Gurko. He'd come through, and then all of a sudden he tailed off there at the last. His last week or two, he couldn't hit. Maybe he had that injury. I don't know. But and then he's got Piscotty, and then he's got and he's kind of nursing them. looking for him to do the thing. I mean, he's putting Piscotty in today. It's real simple. He's due. He's due to get some big hits. So, and he's had all these different outfielders to look through. Now he's got Martinez hitting, but he can't field that great. He's got Carpenter, who can't, you know.
Can't play anywhere.
He can't play third because of his shoulder. He can't play first because he doesn't have the technique. I mean, that's probably, and that's why they put him there, because that's the least damaging. And we got a problem. I would trade Carpenter. You can, he might have a little value. He probably does have some value, and either get a good middle relief closer type and a decent one, or him and somebody else for a bopper. You're going to have to give up one of the good pitchers, unfortunately, and maybe a Carpenter, for two guys for one bopper. I mean, I wish we would have got Stanton. I mean, my God. How many home runs he got now?
50-something. He's doing all right.
55, I think.
Yeah, no, he's, listen, he's a...
He's a bopper.
He's a bopper, and we could use that in the middle of the lineup. Coach, I had a good time today. I'm a little nervous that you've got our club losing all three games in Chicago. I mean, poof, that hurts.
Hey, when the Cubs weren't very good and we were good, the Cubs beat us. Now it's a little different game. And I'm going to tell you what, Madden, you get a runner third and a 1-1, 2-1 ball game or something, he'll squeeze him home. I mean, he doesn't squeeze. He's not a squeeze-type guy, but he will do it. You get him a chance, and he'll steal the bases a little more frequently than we will. He will gamble more than Mike will. And also, it's going to come down to a play, a key play. You didn't turn the double play. Their outfielder threw out our runner at home. We didn't throw their outfielder. Our outfielder didn't throw out their runner at home. It's going to come down to something like that, and usually it does. So you better be ready. You better be more fundamentally sound, because pitching's great, but you still got to make plays.
You know, it's funny. I knew you were coming on today, and when we were at the game yesterday, and obviously you couldn't join us, and, you know, the relay yesterday to get Votto at home, that's how it's done. That's how it should be done every time, right? Piece of cake.
It's not that hard if you just work on it a little bit.
Just a little bit. Well, hey, listen, I enjoyed having you on today. You're always a great guest. You know, your Cardinal knowledge is awesome, of course. But, again, your passion for the game and the way you like to go about doing it is infectious. And people do appreciate it, man. They love they enjoyed you coming on the first time, and I thought it would be great to have you on today. So, thanks, man. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
That is Moto, as most of you affectionately know him. But, of course, Tom Pyle, to the rest of you guys, a legendary high school coach that did some really great things over here in baseball. If anybody plays baseball in this area on the Illinois side of the river, to play at 4A or at the highest level, to go up to Chicago and beat those teams and win a state tournament's quite a feat. And Tom was able to do that in an amazing fashion, be ranked in the nation, undefeated. I think it was 60-some games in a row. It's an amazing feat. If you've ever watched a high school baseball game, to win 60-something games in a row is amazing. But, but for all intents and purposes today, he joined us as a Cardinal fan. And, again, his opinions are awesome. And whether you agree with him, whether you don't agree with him, he loves to talk Cardinal baseball and would appreciate any of your comments. Happy to have him on here today, and we do appreciate it greatly. I want to remind everybody again one last time, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website where you can find this current show and past shows, of course. You can subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. Please join us on social media as well. Find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook. Simple find there. Just type in Two Birds on a Bat. Love to have you guys be a part of us there as well and join in on the conversations. Special thanks again to the Cardinal Freak, the great Facebook page, always sharing our stuff for us. Former St. Louis Cardinals News and Rumors, now the Redbird Report. Make sure you join them. Another great Facebook page. Chris Lawless, of course, with Cardinal Nation, Cardinals 24/7. One last time, make sure you check out rallysquirrel.com for the price of a cup of coffee. You guys can join the Rally Squirrel Club, receive the premium content
content every Monday, you typically probably in the afternoon or night at the very latest. And of course, you'll be eligible for those wonderful prizes, the collectibles, the autographed material, all courtesy of Fan Cave Sports. Happy to be with those guys and doing the show. Nate McHenry's a tremendous fan and does a lot for Cardinal baseball, and we appreciate him greatly. Make sure you go over to rallysquirrel.com and check that out today and get yourself registered. LineupMedia.fm, couldn't do the show without them. We greatly appreciate them, as they're very integral in what we're trying to do here. They make us sound like we really are professional with all their great equipment and the way they promote the show. We couldn't do it without them. For my co-host, Steve-O and Benji, who aren't with us today, I want to thank Tom Pyle once again for coming in. I'm going to predict a Cardinal sweep. I might as well take the opposite of what Coach Pyle had. I mean, what else? I'm sure he and I will make a little wager over lunch today, because I'm sure I'm going to have to buy like I always do when I'm with him. So it'll all go great.
Not true.
Anyway, hey, let's go Cards. Let's hit Wrigley Field hard today. Let's hit them where they ain't, as the man used to like to say. And we'll see you guys on Monday. And hopefully by Monday, we're a little closer to a playoff spot. For Two Birds on a Bat, this is Jimbo. We'll see you guys next week.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.